for It Takes a Village with yours truly, Shaheed Hamid. Morning. This is the first Friday of December, so as usual, we're here with It Takes a Village. We're here every first Friday from 11 to 11:30, and today, well, we've got something special. Here on It Takes a Village, we place a great emphasis on the youth of the community for the last three decades. Nothing has influenced the youth more than rap music, better known as hip-hop. Unfortunately, rap has been blamed for a lot of the negative stereotypes associated with the hip-hop culture. Today, there is a growing awareness that the essence of the music must change if we are to make a positive contribution to a value-based community. Today we have with us the GIS Squad, Get It Squad, trying to change the game, rearranging rap music. Winners of a rap contest, they appeared on BET's 106 in Park Avenue, 106 in Park. And we'll be talking with members of Get It Squad, two brothers, Robert and Reggie Watkins, here on It Takes a Village in just a moment. Stay with us. Due to weather, we have a little delay with Get It Squad coming on, but they are on their way. In the meantime, what I'd like to do is have a short review of a film that I witnessed, that I seen last week, and the response, I think, is worthy of some conversation. Our number here is 503-231-8187, and I'd like to ask a few questions about the film 12 Years a Slave. I think the ironic part about viewing that film for me was the inability of many to view the film And I thought that obviously there was some graphic scenes in the film. Do you think that the film should be viewed? Do you think that films like that should be made? Many blacks that I am aware of felt a lot of anger. Some got up and walked out of the film. And I thought it was very educational for blacks as well as whites. If you've seen that film or if you just have an opinion, give us a call while we're waiting for Reggie and Robert Watkins to Grace House Studios and continue with our prepared program. But in the meantime, because we know the snow has had an effect on us getting around. In the meantime, if you have an opinion about that film, and if you've watched the film, if you went to see the film and you have an opinion, do you think films like that should be shown? Today, we're all mourning the passing of Nelson Mandela. And one of the things that he was known for and was revered for was his attitude toward others when he was released from prison and when he did become the president of South Africa and so forth. So if you have an opinion, or if you've seen the film and you have a critique, please give us a call. 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. My own personal opinion is that if the saying goes, if those who neglect to view history or those who neglect to reconcile with history are doomed to repeat it. And obviously that film, to me, in my opinion, that film only shows a minute part of what African Americans went through during that tragic period of our history. So that's my take on it. If you have an opinion, please don't hesitate to give us a call and voice your opinion here on the air. Part of Cable's mission is to approach challenging subjects. And this is a challenging subject because there's one thing that I think that race in America is still obviously a problem. And it's an American problem. And will there ever be a reconciliation as it is in South Africa? Will there ever be forgiveness? Will there ever be moving past a healing, so to speak? 503-231-8187. I have one call already, so let's get to it, okay, and see what your opinions are. KBOO, you're on the air. Your question or comment, please.
Yeah, I saw the film, and you know, it was written by a white guy. The book Northrop's Words Are Powerful. Much better to see that than something like Django. I think that with the passing of Mandela, he was also known as a hero for some of us because he took up arms against a racist regime. So films are important. I'm a college teacher, and the films that we get mostly in this country are racist. They're based on violence. So when you have something like 12 years in slavery, you get conflicted views. It's not as powerful as the book itself. And while it certainly doesn't give any African Americans any new information, we know that that's what was happening in slavery. I think more or less the movie does move certain people to feel that there was an injustice. But, you know, we have some important things in this country. I believe we should have reparations for African Americans. We have banks that are getting bailouts that were involved in slavery. If the conversation could get larger because of a film like that, absolutely necessary. But, you know, to say that it was too graphic, we have in China the rape of Nanjing, which is, a story 60 years old of Japan raping and killing women and children. So, I don't know. Hollywood and movies are a sort of a double-edged sword, and I'm a teacher. I think we should read more, and I think we should fight more for powerful things.
Let me just jump in real quick, because I think we can tell that you're a teacher, and that's great. A number of aspects of this film and that I was concerned with was the inability of many blacks, and I assume maybe some whites, to even view the film. Because of the, you know, it's almost like we're in denial. We don't want to, I don't want to see that. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to deal with that anymore. I don't want to, go to the movies and they should stop making these kind of films. I mean, I've heard these kind of comments. Another aspect of it is the reconciliation, when you talk about reparations, how would the government go about giving reparations to who? Is it to every African American, to an organization, or when you think about it in practical terms, the logistical terms would be a nightmare, in my opinion. One of the third thing that maybe we can speak to for just a moment is, what about those who are of mixed race? We know that Thomas Jefferson had. He had black slave women and children by black slaves. The film highlighted that aspect as well. So there's a lot of things that we deal with and a lot of things that we as a community don't want to deal with. And can there ever be any real progress without facing what happened, talking about it, going to and working through it?
Well, look, I'm a community college teacher at Clark College, but I also come from Spokane, from El Paso. I speak Spanish. I've lived a lot in Central America. I've worked in Vietnam. But in terms of the reparations, there are many groups out there involved in reparations that can certainly answer that question. Right now in the news, the Hopi tribe is trying to get some of their 30 artifacts from a sale in Paris, France right now. Jewish Americans are getting paintings back from museums
that were
taken from the Nazis. So it's not there are many committees on the reparation of slavery, and I don't want you to let people think that it's an impossibility.
No, I'm not saying it's an impossibility, but at the same time, I'm looking at expectations. You know, you're gonna get people expectations that this can be done. The Jewish situation and the Native American situation is vastly different than the African American situation in terms of identifying those individuals entitled to a.
They're not even thinking about individuals. They're thinking about, look, the school to prison pipeline is a real thing. I just finished a couple stories for a Spokane newspaper magazine, and their school to prison pipeline is absolutely real. Young African American males are being suspended three times more than white or other races in our school system. We have systems where African American, it's a genocide. Many, many, many people I talk to in the African American community are calling what's going on and what has been going on for 30, 40 years an active modern genocide of African Americans. So we have to work hard to start putting the 1% and the 19% that follow those 1%ers. We have to start putting levies and fines on the Nikes in this society. We have to stop allowing capitalism to to make the narrative. We have failed as teachers and as leftists. I'm a revolutionary. I'm not some wimpy liberal. We have failed if we're going to allow the 1% and the media to control the narrative. And I don't believe that we should tell people that they have no chance to stop the school-to-prison pipeline, and there's no chance in hell to not work on reparations. The reparations are based on giving communities like Detroit. What a shame. If we let Detroit happen, this country is dead. This country cannot allow the financiers, the profiteers who destroyed Detroit to win. And Nelson Mandela was a great man, but neoliberalism killed South Africa. South Africa has just as many problems now economically as it did under apartheid.
That's quite all right. We got a couple of folks stuck in traffic today. South Africa is supposed to be resourceful or at least richest country in Africa, and this is 20 years or so after Mandela was released or whatever, and they're doing well.
They're not doing well. They've got rampant exploitation. Neoliberalism has created class divides in South Africa. You've got a country that is affected.
Well, they haven't tore each other to pieces yet. This is basically what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, neoliberalism has done a thing on America. We have the lowest amount of people out protesting in any society. Neoliberalism has done its job in America. We're a bunch of wussies.
As an African American, we're talking about this film now and the African American issue, but as an African American, we are well aware of those of us who are incarcerated, higher numbers of incarceration, higher numbers of unemployment, and so forth. But we're looking for some real answers here. And I think viewing history sometimes, because I think that, we have one PSU professor who wrote a book with the post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Right.
That many of us have mental health issues and so forth based from slavery. And if we don't confront those issues, I don't know how we can ever really move forward.
So what do you do with the movie then? How do you, as an African-American leader in the community, how do you take 12 years of slavery and make it a larger modern-day call to stop this genocide that's going on?
Well, one thing I would urge people to see the movie to begin with, so that we can expand the narrative a little bit and maybe look at some of us looking at some of the implications of the film in a real sense, recognizing that, when you have African-Americans who are making millions and billions of dollars, and like you say, the city like Detroit is allowed to go down. Well, you know, we have some responsibility, and we have to recognize that instead of closing our eyes to our history, as bad as it was in some cases, but as good as it was, you know. And I believe, you know, some of the heroes of the African-American experience, you know, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, and I mean, you just go on and on and on and on and on, left us a legacy that I think we should be proud of, and recognize the whole implications of what slavery did in the cruelty and so forth, and as much for whites as well. I mean, you know, so you know, you have I don't know about neoliberalism and so forth right now, but I support viewing the film. And that's all. I just wanted to just get a discussion and use this opportunity here at Cable to, like you say, engage in a larger narrative.
It's a good narrative. I mean, do you guys carry Black Agenda Report at Cable? I'm new to the area. I don't ever hear it on.
I'm not sure, but we believe you, me, just by the very way that we're having this discussion right now. Cable is the only radio station in this area that has a long history of supporting black dialogue and black African American issues with the police.
I hear those shows, but my push would be prison pipeline. Black Agenda Report and get Tom Hartman off, which, Black Agenda Report talks about real issues that go beyond just, black Americans. And to not have that in Portland is a shame. We have Seattle. We have it in Spokane, where I was on a radio show. And for Portland not to carry Black Agenda Report and to experiment with Tom Hartman, who's just a terrible kind of person in terms of being a Democratic flag raiser, right. Mr. I'll get off the phone because I'd love to have a show there.
We invite you to come down and get involved with Cable. We're certainly glad that you moved from Spokane or whatever, and hopefully we can have more discussions like this. Thank you so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. We're listening to It Takes a Village. I'm Shahid Hamid. Originally, we were to have a GIS scheduled to appear today and talk about rearranging rap music and a lot of issues related to a music genre that has influenced many people and countries of all kinds of persuasions. And we had some interesting questions. But while we're waiting, obviously, we have some weather problems and problems getting to the station. We wanted to just engage in a little discussion, and it took just about our time, about the film 12 Years a Slave. Should it be seen? Should it be seen by both black and white? Is there a reason that we don't want to see it? I know there's still a lot of anger, latent anger, involved with African Americans and African American history, and not only history, but what's going on present day, as the caller indicated, what's going on in Detroit, what's going on in the school system. The gentleman that called is a teacher from Clark. He's from Clark County, Clark College or something. But it's a shame that America is wasn't even in the top 20. Nations that scored on mathematics and English language and so forth. So I think we have another call. Let's see if we can get another call in here. Oh, no. I might have dropped him. I might have lost him. Okay. 503-231-8187. We have a few moments if you'd like to call and wade in on the discussion. 12 Years a Slave, a movie. Was it too graphic? Will it produce a backlash? Will it have a backlash effect? It was directed by Steve McQueen, and Brad Pitt also was one of the producers of the film. Should it be viewed? Should it be viewed by both black and white? Is there a reason to be angry? Is that how we're going to respond to the film? So there's a lot of good things going on in terms of historical. Public Broadcasting had an African American Many Rivers series that was very, very enlightening and educational. Many folks forget that Roots was one of the highest viewed series programs in history, and people wanted to know about that. I know when I viewed that series, it opened my eyes to a whole new way of looking at America, looking at the African American struggle and the African American history. So, gentleman mentioned reparations. How that would come about, I'm not sure. Okay, got another call, I think. KBOO, your question or comment?
I just wanted to say that slavery is not dead in the United States. We still have physical slavery, and we also have economic slavery on a much larger scale.
What about mental slavery?
We got mental slavery, too.
Okay, thank you. Did you see the film?
I did not see the film.
12 Years a Slave. Are you going to see the film?
I would love to. I'm in Salem, so I don't know if we'll come to theaters in our area, but if it does, I certainly want to see it.
You might have to drive to Portland to see it if you're in Salem, because, you know, it was interesting that I remember, I'm not originally from Oregon, but many of Oregon's African Americans always talk about Oregon as being one of the most racist state in the Union.
Well, I see it on a daily basis with the juvenile justice system. So
right.
I see it on a daily basis.
Well, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Okay. You're listening to It Takes a Village. I'm Shahid, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. We had a different kind of show originally planned, but the weather appears to have influenced that as well. So we want to thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to bringing GIS on at another time. You can check them out today on Portland Community Media on the Ghetto Rise program. They're going to be hopefully making an appearance on Ghetto Rise program, and that comes on at 5:00 on Channel 11, Portland Community Media. And they have a CD out that hopefully evolution of expression. Right? You might want to check that out. Okay, it's time for me to kind of get out of here real quickly. Just can't resist. Okay. Shahid, thanking you for your time this time. Looking forward to seeing you next time when we attempt to do it all over again. Maybe next month. I'd like to expand on 12 Years a Slave. And people's comment and views, and let's just discuss it, okay? So until next time, take real good care, and I'll see you on Blues and More and on It Takes a Village next month. Stay tuned. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next, we hear an interview from the radio series Radio EcoShock. Host Alex Smith speaks with Robert Way, a scientist from the University of Ottawa, who says that official figures greatly underestimate the global temperature rise of the past 15 years. So let's take a listen.
Scientists have been pondering why all our carbon was not showing up as higher temperatures. While extreme weather seems on the increase, climate change deniers are talking about a long pause in warming. Two Canadian scientists have finally figured out where the heat is. We've reached Robert Way, a doctoral student at the University of Ottawa, along with University of York computational scientist Kevin Cowton. Robert just published a startling study in the quarterly journal of the Royal Meteorological Society. They've got scientists talking and media calling from all over the world after finding planet Earth is warming more than twice the previously accepted figures. Robert Way is from Labrador in Canada's north, and Robert, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Before we get technical, what is the big problem you and Kevin set out to solve?
I should start out at the outset and say that Kevin Cowton is from the University of York in the United Kingdom, not in Canada. There's a York University in Canada, but he's from the UK, so just figured I'd clarify that. The problem that, in essence, we've tried to find a solution to, or at least improve upon, is simply a matter of, in several of the most recent types of global